God. Someone else have a number?
Page 148. Page 148, the second song.
Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened soul to thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Bow down beneath the load of sin, thy sacred breast. My wars without and fears within, I come to thee for rest. Be thou my shield and hiding place, that shelter near thy side. I may my fears from user face, and tell him Jesus died. O wondrous love, to bleed and die, to bear the cross and shame, that guilty sinner such as I might plead thy gracious name. For tempest tossed in soul, be still my promise, grace receive. 'Tis Jesus' feet I must, I will, I can, I do believe.
Let's sing out the book of the law. Just a second.
I sat by my Savior and looked on him. whiter than snow, the beautiful snow. Wonderful story, can it be so? Tell me again, as onward I go. Jesus has watched me whiter than snow. When have I had come to the end of the way, and the last summons I must obey? May I be able to sing as I go, Jesus has washed me whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, the beautiful snow. Wonderful story, can it be so? Tell me again, as onward I go. Jesus has watched me whiter than snow.
3:26.
3:02. time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence. It's a beautiful day, a day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. We always have some sickness, and we're Sister Mabel Haynes has learned that the disc in her back that's deteriorated, caused a pinching a nerve, it's causing her a lot of pain, and the doctor says that at her age and her being a diabetic, he doesn't want to operate. So all she can do is take pain pills. And so we sympathize with her and hope that she can, that it doesn't get any worse, and she can be able to still go. Excuse me. We're glad to have Brother and Sister Hill here from Walnut Cove. They said they were here once before since I've been serving the church, but I wasn't here that Sunday. So I'm glad that I'm here today, that while they're here, and I told them I hope they'll be glad when the service is over that I was here. We never know how that might turn out when it comes to preaching, because it takes the grace of God to do that. And sometimes the Lord doesn't please the Lord to smile on us. Sometimes he leaves us to our own, and then that's a sad situation when that takes place. We just don't get along very well at all. But thankfully, the Lord has promised us that where two or three are gathered together in his name, that I am I in the midst. And we certainly claim that today as always when we assemble ourselves together in his name. Also, Sister Massey has been real sick, and we're glad to hear that she's on the way to recovery. She's doing a lot better, and we're certainly glad of that. We miss Ricky and Sister Massey and Brother Massey's when they have changed their meeting time, and so they meet the same time we do now. They don't get to come and be with us like they used to. Is there any other sickness that I'm overlooking? That you know of?
I don't think so.
Brother, sister.
She's doing better.
Sister Moore, that usually sits right over here with them, she's not here today. Her daughter has had a lot of problems lately, and she has had her second operation this past week and is doing much better, I understand. So that's good news. And of course, Sister Louise and Brother McBride, Stanley, Sister Louise has missed the last two meetings, but Brother Clyde said that he's talked to Marie, their daughter, this past week, and she said they were doing about the same. So we hope that things will get better for them. Let's turn to number 45 in this last book we were singing in. As a opening hymn and as we go to the Lord in prayer, we covet an interest in your prayers. As we try to lead publicly in prayer, we hope your heart will be indicted with prayer and you'll be blessed to pray and pray on our behalf, that the Lord will bless his word and will send it forth with power and in the Holy Ghost, and that it might open up our understanding and edify us in the most holy faith, that we might be better witnesses and testimonies of the grace of our Lord and Savior.
Lord, in thy presence here we meet, may we in thee be found. Oh, make the place divinely sweet, and let
let thy grace abound with harmony thy servants bless, that we may own to thee how good, how sweet, how pleasant is when brethren all agree, may Zion's good be kept in view, and bless our feeble aim, that all we undertake to do may glorify thy name. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence with hearts of thanksgiving, thanking thee, dear Lord, for thy many mercies and blessings that we have received from thy hand all the days of our life. And we're ever conscious, our Father, of our sinful nature that separates us from thee, the holy, true, and righteous God. And how thankful we are, our Father, that thou spared not thy Son, but delivered him up for us all, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We're ever conscious, our Father, that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before thee, who art the thrice holy one, and that it takes the righteousness and the holy life of thy Son and our Lord Jesus, who left the courts of glory, came into this low ground of sin and sorrow, and suffered for 33.5 years for our iniquities and sins that we have committed against thee, and then was crucified and hung on a tree. But then, after being buried on the third day, according to the scriptures, arose from the dead, was seen of many witnesses for 40 days, and then ascended back to thy right hand. And now all principalities and powers and dominions and power is given into his hand, and he's the governor of governors, the king of kings, and the lord of lords, and he is our wonderful Savior. And it's in his wonderful name that we come today, desiring, our Father, to worship thee, to render unto thee praise and thanksgiving for all of thy many blessings and mercies that we have received from thy hand. Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this church. We thank thee for each household that's represented here today. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless us in the unity of the Spirit and in the bonds of peace, that we might render praise and thanksgiving to thee, that thy word, O Lord, might go out in power, and that the Holy Ghost might attend unto the reading and the preaching of thy word, and that it might find its lodging place in the hearts of thy dear children, and that it might, O Lord, open up our understanding, that we might see and hear and perceive the wonderful works of God, our Savior and our Helper. Lord, we pray for the sick and the afflicted, the aged, the infirm, all that's been mentioned here today. We thank you, Lord, for thy healing power, for thy saving grace, and for thy blessed Spirit that encourages us and enlightens us along the way, that we might bear the burdens of life, and that we might, O Lord, thank thee even in the midst of all trials and tribulations. Lord, we pray for this country and for the leaders, our rulers that's ruling over us. We pray for our sons and daughters that's fighting on foreign soil to protect our liberties that we've enjoyed all these many years. Pray, Lord, it might be pleasing in thy sight to subdue our enemies, that they might not gain the victory over us. For we realize, O Lord, that the laborer laboreth in vain if the Lord does not build a house. And we look unto thee, O Lord, for all of thy mercies and blessings, and with that which we need day by day. And these many mercies we thank thee for in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. I'd like to read several verses in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians and covered our continued interest in your prayers. Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly then will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So we have this most wonderful occasion here of the Apostle Paul. We get a glimpse into his very soul, you might say. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And we all know his history. He was an enemy of Jesus. He thought he was a worshiper of Christ. Christ, of course, is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. And all the Old Testament promised the coming of the Messiah. And all the Jews looked for the Messiah to come. And Apostle Paul was a devout Jew, a devout Pharisee. He said he excelled above many of his equals because of his labors in the Word of God and his studies and so forth. And he said he was well known and excelled in the Word of God, but yet he was blind to the truth that Jesus was their Messiah. Just as the nation as a whole was and still is. And in reading the scripture this morning, I read where the Lord sat on the hill there and wept and said, O Jerusalem, if thou hast known thy time and the time of thy visit, he said, I would have gathered thy children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but thou wouldst not. And in another place it says, our house is left unto the desolate. And but because they did not recognize their Savior, the one that Moses had told them about and had been promised in the scriptures and all of the Old Testament. And as the saying goes, the New Testament was hid in the contained in the Old, and the Old Testament was revealed in the New. And so everything that we have in the New Testament is, for the most part, we have the beginning of it in the Old Testament. Most of the New Testament writers and the Lord himself often quoted scriptures from the Old Testament. And so the Apostle Paul well knew the Word of God and excelled in it, and yet he persecuted. He took delight. He thought he was serving God, that he was being a devout servant of God by persecuting those who claimed that Jesus was the Son of God. And the Jews today, even today, those that don't believe say that he was a deceiver. They refer to him as that deceiver. I take several different papers other than Old Baptist papers, religious papers, and one of them is published by converted Jews. And they know the mind of the Jews in general and how they think of him. And when they was a little boy, brought up in his in their homes, the very name of Jesus was couldn't even be spoken in their home. And anybody that believed in Jesus as the Son of God was deceived, was a total deception in their eyes, and they were taught this. And so their conversion truly is by the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for thee. This is a topic, the scripture that I had that jumped out at me this morning when I was reading. He says, Paul, the Lord told Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. And it looks to me like the thorn was that the messenger of Satan was sent to him. That's what he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, Paul said it was given to him, just as grace was given. This thorn was given to him, just as grace is given to us. The scripture says it's not only given to you to believe on his name, but to suffer for his name's sake. And so the ability to actually believe, to embrace in your soul that Jesus is the Son of God, he is who the Bible says he is, to actually believe that and to live on it, is given to you. It doesn't come naturally. You don't learn that in school or from mama and daddy. Though I heard all of my life about Jesus and went to church and was taken to church, and I never doubted as a young boy that there was a man named Jesus. But it didn't mean any more to me than George Washington. Really didn't mean as much. I learned more about George Washington in school than I did about Jesus. And so it was just another name that I was familiar with and believed on until when I was about 30 years old. Then something happened to where I called upon Jesus, for I needed help. And he became more than just a name and a man. He became a savior. And my, if I'm not deceived, my understanding was enlightened and opened up to where I could see, where I could believe, I could actually embrace what the scripture said about this man Jesus, that he was the Son of God, that though he was born of the Virgin Mary, yet he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And these things are just as true to me as things I read about George Washington being the father of our country. And it's more so, it's more true and real to me than the history of our rulers and leaders of this country. And so it's given. And it's given. And Apostle Paul said that it was given to him, though he was caught up into the third heaven. And I've thought about that expression a lot of times. He in the next verse, he refers to it as paradise. And he saw things that was unlawful to speak. It was impossible, really, is what the Center Virgin says. The things that he saw, man's words could not describe, is the way I take the meaning of that. It was just, he was caught up into heaven, and he saw things that so far excelled and exceeded things that we see and understand here in this world, that there's nothing to compare it by. You know, when you go to explain yourself to somebody, how you feel about something or a person or something, you use things that you see in everyday life to explain it and to give somebody a reference, a frame of reference as to how you are understanding this thing. You have to describe things that they've seen and things that you've experienced and seen that you might express yourself to them. And if you saw something that they've never seen and never had experienced and had no idea of, it'd be hard for you to explain what you saw to them. It would all be very foreign to them. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here, that he was caught up into the third heaven and the paradise, and he saw things that he just could not, the words could not explain. And though he said, but lest he should be exalted above measure, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. And just, I've heard a lot of preachers discussing that and wondering just what it was or what it was, but he says a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And I take that's what the thorn was, the messenger of Satan. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I had that problem this morning when I rose out of my bed and tried to get something on my mind, knowing I have to come and speak to you today. And just what am I going to say? You know, what am I going to say? And the messenger of Satan would tell me, so, well, if you was a real called man of God, that wouldn't be no problem. It'd just come, you know, just come right to you right off. You don't need to worry about that. And the Satan will buffet you. He will tempt you. And he'll call God a liar. And he'll everything that you embrace is truth, he'll try to deceive you in, twist it around. And so Satan is a messenger of that will come to contradict your faith. He will throw stumbling stones in your way to hinder you. And I've been since I made a profession of faith when I was 30 years old, and that was 48 years ago now. And still, it's amazing when you get ready to go to church, things that have happened that'll hinder you. You can find as excuses not to go, you know, real easy if you really don't want to go. Things can happen that will appear to you as a good excuse not to go. And so there's a effort that has to be made to overcome these things, and the devil will always be on the job to anything that glorifies God and the duties that the Lord has told us to carry out in his name to serve him. He will try to hinder you, and he'll always be on the job to hinder that. And the Apostle Paul says that these things bothered him, and he sought the Lord thrice, not just one time, but he went to and made a concerted effort three times. And I'm confident that the Apostle Paul had many prayers answered of the Lord after the Lord called him and interceded when he was on his way to Damascus with letters in his pocket to put Christians in jail. And the Lord appeared to him, and he immediately said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the Apostle Paul, and the Lord told him, he said, I have appeared unto thee for this very thing, that said, I will send you not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, that you might turn them from darkness into light, and that they might learn to serve me. And you notice it didn't say that he was sending him there to make them children of God. He did not send them to make them somebody that they weren't, to convert goats into sheep. But he was sent to them to turn them from darkness to light. And so the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, You have to be a believer. There has to be something in you that believes in God and that gives you the ability to believe in His Son, to believe in the Father.